Well, hello and welcome to another episode of She Speaks Stories. This is Katie.
And this is Julia.
And you're in for such a treat today. Listeners, I went to a conference back in January, and North Star Women's Leadership Conference, led by our dear, sweet friend, Katie Harding, who we talk about a lot on this podcast. Yeah. But it was funny, Julia, you know how you go to these big women's conferences and the very first thing you're trying to do is pick a seat, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm kind of an upfront, I want to be, you know, and I was with another girl. So there were two of us and we went to the front table, reserve. We went to another front table and the lady sitting there, oh, sorry.
Saved.
So we looked around and there was a table on the way back and we're like, okay, well, let's just go sit there. Talk about the sovereign hand of God in very little decisions that we make. You know, we have our plans, but God orders our steps. Our plan, sit up front. God's plans, meet Doris Lama. Doris was, who's going to be our guest today, was sitting at this table with one of her best friends, Sarah England, that I'm hoping will get on this podcast in the future. And we sat down and all day long. Now, we did have to be quiet and listen to the speakers, of course.
Of course.
But there were lots of times to talk around the table. And Doris and Sarah both shared parts of their story with me all day long. And I was so honored and so excited. And when the conference was over, I said, Doris, I can't just leave you. Could we get together?
Yes.
And she said, absolutely. Come over to my house for lunch. And she had Sarah and I over and made this gorgeous, like 5-course lunch.
We talked for hours.
And of course, I said, oh, Doris, you have to get on the podcast because I have delighted in hearing every one of your stories and quips and sayings and been so blessed. And listeners, we always think of you because we want to bless you with the stories that we hear. So without further ado, welcome Doris Lama.
Well, thank you very much. We remembered the same event. Isn't that exciting as we're all women that we remember the same event? And it was a love fest. That's all I can say. But then God is love and we were all together. So what else were we going to do? We were going to love on one another. And that's why I like your book, She Speaks Stories, because it's just so much love in it. And I love your podcast as well. I do have lots of quips. You know, one of the things is that I collect items, things, from teaching, from working, etc. And so I live by the 4 D's of life. Do it, drop it, delay it, or delegate it. And I tend in these later years to be in the more of the do it stage, but I do understand, I run a senior women's group at church and they call me the great delegator because I'm grooming women to do things. And my response to them is better a delegator than an alligator, right? So I like to have fun. I do lead 2 small groups in our church. My mistake is that I was leading during COVID. I should backtrack and say that I joined this church in 2009 after my church folded. The minister and his wife had been in a car accident. And so I was looking for a church. I found this church. And I said, I'm so used to teaching, whether I was teaching in the government or at other churches. And I said, God, what would you have me do? Now, I mention that because that's how I live my life. God, what would you have me do? God, what can I do? Or here are my credentials, et cetera. God, what would you have me do? And he said, you be a student. And I said, okay, I can do that. And I was a student for 12 years.
Wow.
And COVID came and they put out a call for some instructors on Zoom. That's a four-letter word in case you wanted to know, because it was not something that I knew anything about. And so I said, God, what would you have me do? And he said, well, I think you should volunteer to teach. So I contacted the gal and I said, if you'd like, I'm willing to teach. And she said, how would you like to teach the art of neighboring? Mm-hmm. And I said, not on your life. And because I knew that isn't what God had planned for me.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't me. I said, you know, I was at a North Star conference and they gave me a free book and I read it. You know, if you get a free book, read it.
Sure.
And the book was called Calm My Anxious Heart by Linda Dillo. It's a 10 session book. And I learned more about anxiety than I had ever known. Now I'm the oldest of five. I have siblings and parents that suffered with depression and anxiety. I did not. That was one blessing God gave me. Mm-hmm. I did not. But I had, it was just so revealing. And then when the 10 weeks were over, and they were 10 weeks every week, which was a lot. Many of the girls said, we don't want to stop.
Oh.
And I said, well, let me pray over this. And I say that because you cannot let your ego point you in the direction. Because yeah. Then you're going to burn out. You're going to wear out. It's all about you.
Yeah.
And it can't be all about you.
Yeah.
It has to be about him. So I said, okay, we will, I'll pray over it. And then I came back and I said, well, this is the deal. Not every week. I can't do it every week. And not everybody has to join in, whoever wants to, whoever needs it. And so last night I taught again and there were 12 people that showed up. And that isn't all the women that come, but my other thing, you know, besides the four D's, which I think is really important, is you are in a guilt-free zone. That, and I say that because there are going to be people that come in and out of your life. And you're not the teacher. You're not the grader. They're coming to be fed. And some people have a hunger and some people have other things that create blockages for them to come all the time. And in my senior women's group, they say it's a small group. We have over 30 women. They can't get enough.
Wow.
I get enough. As I was saying, I was doing this one group and I kept hearing God say to me, the church needs a senior women's group. And I put that on the back shelf. I thought, why are you calling me? Right. So finally,
I'm not a senior woman.
I am, a senior, but I've already got a small group. So I go to Rena, who's in charge of our small groups. And I said, you know, I just want to share this with you. And I always have great ideas. That doesn't mean I'm going to follow through on them because I give them freely. And I said, I really think we need a senior women's group. And she said, run with it. I said, excuse me? I already have a group. She said, run with it. So, all right. So I talked to some of the senior women and they were, oh, so-so. So I thought, well, God, if this is your plan, let's see what you got in store for us.
Yeah.
Well, I cannot begin to tell you that these women are craving companionship to share their stories, to share their skill sets. And they're not an, oh, by the way, they're the main course.
Yeah.
They get together and they love on one another. And if I can say anything about being involved in a church, it's that if you go with an empty basket, it will be filled. And if you go with a full basket, that's so that you can keep giving out to other people.
Right. Yeah.
But it just is so fulfilling. And when people say, you know, they'll hear, you know, I live alone. And I said, no, you don't. I said, haven't you ever heard of the Trinity? In human form, it's me, myself, and I. Right? You've got great companionship. if somebody says, you know, all my relatives have died or I don't have any family here, I say, so what's the problem? Look around you. Who do you want to adopt? who can you influence? Who can influence you?
Yeah.
Why are you holding back? You have these skill sets. And you know, when you retire, and this is my other thing, and I tell the women this, and I've told the church this.
Hey friends, Julia here. Hey, did you know that She Speaks Stories has a newsletter? Yeah, we do. To subscribe to it, just head over to our website, shespeaksstories.com. We are also on socials, so you can find us on Facebook and Instagram by just searching She Speaks Stories. We post and share all kinds of fun things. So following us is a great way to stay connected and updated on all of that fun. We just love our story community, and we hope you can join in on the sharing of stories because, as you know, we say all the time, stories change lives.
I said, you may be retired, but you haven't expired. God still has something for you to do.
Yes.
Doris, can you come with me in April to a church I get to speak at? God, I've been asking God, what message? And it's an older group. And just yesterday, finally, this thought came, a sure cure for loneliness. And it's exactly what you just said. You're not alone. You are not alone. And why? And the power of the Holy Spirit. I love that. Hey, real quick, I have to share this with you, Doris. I don't think our listeners will care. One of your quips that made me laugh, but God brought to mind this morning, you said, I don't know, we were talking about getting the word out about something. And you said, well, you know, they invented the telegraph. They invented the telephone, but the most effective is the telewoman. That has been haunting me. And here's why. Julie and I love to get guests on and share stories. They really do change lives in the way of this. Okay, Doris, I met you. You said that quip. Okay. Last week, we had a couple weeks ago, we interviewed a guest from the Congo. And her uncle was a gynecologist over in the eastern part of the Congo, and became, out of necessity, a rape repairing specialist, gynecologist, because of the atrocities happening in the Congo. Okay, so anyway, she told us about her uncle's book. He won the Nobel Peace Prize. He's spoken at the UN trying to bring attention to what's happening in the Congo. And Doris, you said, if you get a free book, read it. Yeah. So she told us about her uncle's book. I stayed up to all hours of the night last night finishing this book. The images in my brain would not let me sleep because of the atrocities, the horrors. So this morning in my prayer time, I'm like, Lord Jesus, I'm one little old lady living in Virginia in comfort. I mean, I'd already sent some money to the guest and her, what she was raising money for and everything. I'm like, I mean, I've been praying, but what can I do? Your voice answered me. Now, I know it's the Holy Spirit through you, so don't say it wasn't Doris Lama. I know that, but it was in your voice. Well, Katie, there's a telegraph, there's a telephone, and there's a telewoman. I told you of these atrocities, and now I want you to go tell others. Yeah. And you leave it with me what others are to do. Pray, give, go, serve, help.
Exactly.
My role, you just start telling people there's a deep need in the Congo today for evil to be banished, for women to be helped. Yeah. Now that got us way off point of your story.
No, but it's perfect because it is, you went to the table that you didn't want to sit at. You met this amazing gal, you connected with her. She is being herself, the person God made her to be. And she shared this funny little thing, stuck with you. You said, what do I do with this? And God said, remember that gal you met at the table? She told you what to do with it. Amen. So he works through us in the weirdest, best ways, in the ways that we need him to talk to us, I believe. So
because he is in us.
And you have to ask the question, God, what would you have me do?
Yes.
He says, broadcast, get the word out. Christine Kane, who's a reverend, I met her at Women of Faith. I've read her books, and she talks about human trafficking. Mm-hmm. But we have human trafficking programs here in Virginia, the high schools, everywhere. Even though we're older and we might not be involved in that, we have a consciousness. We need to educate ourselves. We need to put protection over the women in our lives. We need to know what the anointing is about and praying for people. And we can give in consciousness. Every year, God gives me a word. And I started this over a decade ago. And last year, he gave me 3 words, and I was not happy. I mean, they weren't like joy and hope and things I'd done before. It was forgive, forgiven, forgiving. Tough words. Tough lessons. And usually every day in the morning, I will promote my word on Facebook. And my word this year is peace. Well, you know, there's all levels of peace. Yeah. And what you were just talking about is, how do we give peace to people that have suffered abuse? How do we give peace to their families? How do we keep things from stopping? There's something for us there. I said, that's one thing everybody could do, is they could say, God, what word should I be working with this year, and walk behind it? And what supports it? And, you know, in my case, because I grew up in the 60s, I can break out into song, right? And I know I can doodle peace signs everywhere. I in fact, sometimes I put up and say, doodle a peace sign today. Here's a couple. The point of it is that we want to move from less than to more than. And we get to more than when we invite the Holy Spirit into our lives. In fact, I'm teaching a 5-part course to the senior women in our group, Max Lucado's book, Help is Here. I always want to say here to help, either way, but it's help. And the reason I did that is, I think one of the important things of being a girlfriend is to listen. So I want to go back to the senior group. So this senior group, I'm very time oriented. We're going to meet from 10 to 11:30, the end. Now, you want to do something afterwards? I'm up for it. So we started going to lunch, and we'd pick a place. Anybody want to go to lunch? You're welcome. It's not a click. You're welcome. Well, we have this lady in our group who is a widow, and she has a beautiful home, and she loves the energy that we bring into the home, and she loves to cook. She lives with herself, me, myself, and I. And she loves to cook. So we decide we'll have special meals. Like, we had a big Christmas meal and everybody brought. So a couple of weeks ago, she said, what do you think if we just buy some pizzas and I make some salad, I'll make a little dessert, we'll have some drinks, you know, sodas and stuff. And how about if we, you know, offer it for $6 a person. I said, sounds good. Anybody want to come? We gave them enough notice. All right. 18 women showed up. 18 wow. Women. We left the church. I didn't leave till after at 12 because I was too busy talking to some other people. We get there. That afternoon, people started leaving at 3:30. They didn't want to leave.
Oh, I love that.
I did not want to leave. I left at 4:15. I had to push myself out. I said, I'm walking. They can't get
out the door.
Because they're not only feeding food, they're feeding companionship, they're feeding hope, they're feeding love, they're feeling connection. And everybody has something, and they can't do enough. Now, we're going to be celebrating our first birthday for the senior women's group. We actually joined St. Patrick's Day. Now it's leap year, so we'll do a party on March 15th, and we're going to do a baked potato charcuterie board.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, and something for everybody.
Yeah.
But the thing of it is these women look forward to connection. Mm-hmm. And who put it in my heart? God. Why did I procrastinate? Because I was busy. Right? I was busy. I'm already involved in this, and this. But you know what? God kept putting it back like, I'm reminding you, did you hear me again? Are you going to pay attention? This is a wake-up call. And I thought, you know, I could just hand it off.
Yeah.
So then, of course, you get criticism right away. You know, Doris, this is an awfully big group. You're going to need somebody to help you. And I said, okay. So I said, I need somebody to help me. I need somebody to be a co-sponsor of this group. And you know what you get, right? Excuses. Well, you know, yeah. I go on travel or I babysit and I'm not always free on Fridays, and blah, blah, blah. So I said to myself, that's a blockage, right? Can God handle a blockage? Yes. He says, think differently. Think differently. So I said to Corinna, the head of women's ministry, I said, not going to happen, but don't worry. I have a plan. I said, we will all group together in the beginning and we'll have a message. And then I split them into groups. And I'll say like to you, Katie, you're in charge of that group now. And this one's in charge of this group, et cetera. Yeah. And I look at all the blockages. My first blockage in the group was one of the senior of the seniors said, I can't hear everybody. I said, no problem. Next week, I brought in two microphones and a ball. Right? And they're afraid. It's like a snake, you know, like Moses. Yeah. They're afraid. It's like a snake. A few weeks later, Oprah Winfrey appears. They're just strutting with their microphone. So, I mean, it's amazing what people are doing. And I've had a few day trips with the ladies. I mean, it is just amazing. And then how many people have never gone to Sight and Sound in Lancaster? I took 18 women. Most of them had never gone. And they just loved it. They had to get up early. We had to carpool. We got up there, we ate, we shopped, because you have to go to do that in Lancaster. And we saw the play. And then we headed home and they said, why didn't we spend the night? I said, hey, this was expensive. First, we have to introduce you. Next time we can add everything else to it.
And listeners, if you've never heard of Sight and Sound, many of you don't live anywhere near the Northern Virginia area. It's a beautiful theater in Amish country, where they put on Bible stories, but elaborate productions that really bring alive the Bible stories. So that's what that is. And of course, they have all these Amish shops and quilt shops and pictures and crafts. And it's just beautiful. It's a beautiful experience.
And I will say this, it's in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and it's also in Missouri.
Branson, right? Yeah.
Missouri. But they also have Sight and Sound TV. And I wanted to introduce my brother to Christian plays. Now, you're not going to see the live animals next to you like they do on the stage, but you see them on the film. And for $89, he could watch Sight and Sound TV and watch any of those plays anytime he wanted.
And that's awesome.
Children. And it filled him. I look for books. I look for plays. I look for music. I look for any opportunity to see God's glory.
Yeah. Doris, your stories are about your life at the present time. Can you back up a little bit for our listeners and kind of talk about how God worked in different seasons of your life? Like, for example, you love the military because of all your various jobs in the, you weren't specifically in the military yourself, but you had so many jobs connected with the military. But some of those stories you were telling me around the table.
My favorite story is that I love the military. In fact, when I was offered a job with Department of Energy as a GS-15, I went through 3 interviews. And at the 3rd interview, the guy said to me, "So why do you want this job?" And I said, "I really don't think I do." And he said, "Excuse me?" And I said, "You know, while you've been interviewing me, I've been interviewing you." I realized that I love the military because they have protocols. They have rulemaking. They have echelons. They don't wing it. They plan it. They have after action reports. And I love the military. And my last 23 years, which was with the Navy at the Pentagon and then the Navy Yard, I was the Freedom of Information Privacy Officer. So my job was to protect records, to release records, to look at mandatory declassification reviews. But I really helped veterans. They would call me. I remember a guy called me one time and he said, "Mrs. Lama, I'm such and such. I was in Antarctica in 1956 and there was this nuclear reactor accident and I have kidney cancer and some of my friends have died and everything. And I really need a copy of the report." I said, 1956? I said, "You know, we're already in the year 2000. We didn't have official record keeping back then. It's not in my desk drawer. I can't get it to you within 10 days. I don't even know if I have 10 days I could get it." But I said, "Now this is just off the record. If you want to pray with me, you want to pray with me and get all your friends to pray." I said, "I have this little lady that comes in once a week. She can find a needle in a haystack." And I said, "I'm going to work with her and let's see what we can do for you." And so within 30 days, she had found the record. We had it declassified. He sent me a VHS of McMurdo Sound. He sent me angels. He was so happy. We publicized it to everybody. It was a 100-page report.
Wow.
I said, "That's the power of God. That's the power of the Holy Spirit." Because humanly, there's a lot of things we can't do. And the reason I was so successful in my job is I said, "You served us then, I serve you now."
Yeah.
Because that's what God wanted me to do. So my job has never stopped when I walked in the door of the military. Because I'm going to tell you, that's one of the most religious organizations. In the Pentagon, we had prayer meetings. People said, "You pray?" I said, "Where else are you going to pray?" During Easter time, I had to climb over bodies to get into Third Corridor South parking. People were hanging on crosses. They were calling us everything. And I said, "Wait a minute. I push paper, people. I've never held a gun. I push paper. I'm trying to help you guys." But I love the military. I know, you know, I love the fact that women don't have to wait, or men, even the spouses don't have to wait forever to have communication now.
Oh, like, man.
And I love the fact that we can recreate somebody's career based on histories. I mean, if you wanted to know something and you didn't know anything, I mean, I was doing this job before Google. It was like, oh, no.
You were Google. You were Google back in the day. I love it.
I go to people, and if you go to the Naval Historical Center, and I talk to a historian that was, you know, knew something, and he'd tell me everything. 3 hours later, we'd end the conversation. I knew now about quote talkers. I knew all kinds of things. I loved my job.
Yeah.
And why did I love my job? Because God was always present in my job.
Amen.
And I was not afraid to say, "You know what? I got to pray over this."
Yeah.
Got to pray over this. And every step I've taken is based on, "God, what would you have me do?"
Yeah.
I have not had an easy life. And maybe on another time, we'll talk about some of those things. But I've always walked Jesus.
Since a little. Well, Well, I love that so much. I have to give a little talk on sharing your faith. And what I really want to say is something like, you don't go out and witness, you are a witness.
Right.
You know, when Jesus said, you will be my witnesses, that was a noun, not a verb. It's not something you go and do extra in your life. Like, check the box. Yay, I just shared the gospel. You live it. You are it. And Doris, I think that's why I was so drawn to you that day, because your stories and your quips and everything you said was just you living it.
Right.
Just you living your faith.
Your faith is your fortune. People always say, are you rich? And you know my answer is, I am rich in spirit.
That's all you need.
Rich in spirit. And I think it's really, that is all that you need. And I think it's really important that we understand that our faith is our fortune, and you don't want to lose your faith. So how do you increase your faith? You increase it with time with Jesus.
Yeah.
Time with the Holy Spirit. I have a lot of people that say, I wish I knew more about, and I say, it's not too late. Let's discover it. Let's discover it. Yeah. So I want to encourage everybody who's listening today to let God guide you and ask, what would you have me do? Because guess what? It will be a success. He will equip you to do what he wants you to do. I think that's refreshing. Isn't it nice to know that whatever is needed, he will give it to you? And just as you said earlier, Katie, about reading this book and saying, what should I do now? You know, and you can tell a woman. And you're planting seeds. You're planting seeds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Aren't we grateful that we can plant seeds? Aren't we grateful for She Speaks Stories? Because today we planted some seeds, right?
Yes.
I can't wait to see what comes up.
And we're human. We have boundaries. And God has never asked us to go out and do everything. I cannot go to the Congo and meet
the Congo.
And meet these
dance
and meet these women and counsel with them and do anything hands on. But I can do my little part, and that's all God's calling us to. And we can be content with that, not complacent. I realize there's a big difference between contentment and complacency. He is not happy when we're just complacent, like, oh, well, I can't do anything about that. You know, da, da, da. Yes, you can, Katie, but you have to be content with your small role in it, but do that part and do it well with my power. And then everybody else, if everybody does their small part, then you're working together as the body of Christ to confront evil in the world and bring good. Well, there you go. Okay, Doris, I have to say this. Would you come back on some other time as our guest? Because obviously it's She Speaks Stories, and a lot of the stories that we love to hear are romantic in nature. And you did tell me some very funny and heartwarming stories about your romance. And we don't have time to dive into that today, but would you come back and share those stories? Now, not just because we love stories of romance, which we do, mm-hmm. but your story of romance also included really trusting the wisdom of God, really being able to listen to the voice of God in the path you chose with romance. So
now she has to say yes, because I will have FOMO, and I'm sure there are other listeners that will also have FOMO. So
I'll leave you with a teaser. 1976, I met my first foreign man who ended up becoming my husband. It's from Kathmandu, Nepal. And I remember hearing God's voice that night saying, this is the man you're going to marry. Oh, shut up. And from there, a really interesting life has taken force.
Can you give one more teaser? Because this made me laugh out loud. You told me you went to a party down by the embassies.
Oh, I know. Yeah, he opened the door in 1976, March 12th, 1976. It was my sister's birthday. I was invited to an international house to go to a party with a gal that was in my women's young adult group, was dating a guy from Afghanistan, and Lama, who ends up being my husband many years later, answers the door. Now, men were wearing long hair. He was wearing a crew cut and a karate gi. Grabbed my hand, took me into one of the rooms and said, if you could be anyone in the world, who would you be? And I said, the flying nun, so I could get the hell out of here. Later that evening, God said, this is the man you're going to marry. And that's why I said, oh, shut up.
Oh, my gosh.
So God had a plan. Stick around. We'll go into it a little later.
Stick around. I want to hear more.
And listeners, I have to tell you, when I went to Doris's house for lunch, her husband walked in and he was the most charming, delightful, handsome, funny, smart man, and completely unselfconscious in the front, in front of all of us, and just sharing. And you know what touched my heart, Doris? And again, these are teasers, listeners, so you will listen into the next episode with our special guest. You looked at me and you said, if I hadn't listened to the Lord all those years ago, I would be a bitter, lonely woman today. But I am married to my best friend, the best companion. And you read that poem?
Yes.
That he wrote you? Mm-hmm. Oh, Sarah and I were in tears. We're like, okay, this should be a Valentine's Day.
And this Valentine's Day, my non-gift giver sent me an audio of a song that he sang for me. And it was very beautiful. And at the end, he says to me, when we were talking, he said, I wish God had given me this gift sooner. I could have been a somebody.
And you said, darling, you are a
somebody. Oh, I love that. Okay. Well, we need a part two now. This is for sure, because the teasers are just making it worse. So we will definitely have you back, because
we will have
so
you
good.
So until next time, listeners, we love you. And Doris, thank you so much for spending time chatting with us.
Thank you.